a woman that knows all about families, and she is a grandmother to boot, Dr. Gail, joining the program right now. And you can find out all about her by going to parentsplace.com/expert/family. How are you doing, Gail?
Oh, I'm having a great time. I always love the holidays.
Yeah.
Especially, I was mentioning to you earlier, as a grandparent, you know, I don't have as much to do as when I had the kids in the house, you know. So I can sort of slow down and enjoy it more. You know, it's nice.
Well, I was bragging about you the other day. I was saying I love the fact that the family therapist on iVillage, because you have an intergenerational experience, you know, so I can really listen to you and know that you know about it because you're a parent and a grandparent. And have a relationship with your family, your parents as well. So you have all that stuff going on, because I was telling that to my friend, and she goes, yeah, it's sort of like, you know, those people who go to celibate priests for marriage counseling. You know, she said, I never understood that. I've never really gotten that. So
experience is important in this world.
I think it does help, and I really honor you in the fact that you have experience that way. If you want to find Dr. Gail, just for the listeners out there, if you're going from the front page of iVillage now, it's all been revamped and made a little easier. If you click on Baby, it'll take you right to Parents Place. You can click on Experts, and then the family therapist is Dr. Gail. Now, we have some questions from listeners today. Sex or sleep? What a dilemma.
That's a big one.
That's a big dilemma. I tell you, I don't care how big your kids are, that's still sometimes a dilemma. Brandy says, I have two children under the age of 3. I love my husband dearly, but when it comes to making love, I'm always too tired. I feel guilty for constantly turning him down. What can I do to rekindle my desire and still get the sleep I need?
Well, no doubt, 3 under 3.
Two children under three.
Is that two? I thought she said 3. Oh, she did say 2. Well, that's a little better.
A little better, but still, 2 children under the age of 3 is...
Two children under 3. And really, you know, 3 is that age. You know, by 4, children are a bit more independent, you know, but 3 and under, they're still babies almost, you know. So, and a 3-year-old is still, you know, it's still the age, you got to watch them, they can hurt themselves, you know, the most kind of accidental deaths occur in 2- and 3-year-olds. So this is still high maintenance physically as well as psychologically and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's tired. And the real thing that parents have to look for here, because this is a very common dilemma, especially in the early years, is... sex will diminish, but what you're looking for is quality over quantity, and you're looking for a new balance. You're looking for a balance, not for the relationship to be as it was. The frequency will decrease. You know, of course it'll decrease. You have to expect it. It's natural. The expectations must change, but you can find a way, and I do have several ideas here,
mm-hmm.
that I've seen really work for parents.
Right.
You can find a way to protect your relationship and still nurture your children, but you do have to accept that it is a different balance. You know, it isn't going to be the same. It isn't going to be as much as was before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the key things here is to establish a reasonable and firm bedtime, you know. Make it so that at the end of the day, your children are in bed maybe an hour and a half before you would be going to bed at least. So you've got that evening time.
Mm-hmm.
And too often, and I see this a lot with just with parents with one child, especially even more than I see it with parents with more than one, because they usually figure that out by then. But, you know, they'll have the child up until 10 p.m. at night.
Right.
And then they go, well, I'm exhausted. I just have to go to bed. You know, you really do want to save some time for your relationship each day at the end of the day. And it doesn't mean you're going to have sex, right? But you're going to be able to connect. You're going to be able to have some downtime.
Right.
So that's important. And then, you know, the old thing that I think most people know is if you can get away every few months, you know, to bed and breakfast, that's great, because there's always that sort of replenishment that, aha, so this is what it's like.
Right.
And regular dates, you know, if it's once a week, if it's once every other week. But this is key, which, you know, people oftentimes will go on dates and they'll go out to dinner and that's okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, you really need to think about daytime dates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're tired, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you go out at the end of the day, and it's sort of you're going out with your spouse at a time when there isn't a lot of quality energy there.
Right.
So if you, you know, if you maybe even just once a month, you know, hire a babysitter or get a grandparent or an aunt or uncle to come in for the in the morning, Sunday morning, you know, like 10 to 2 or 10 to, you know, 10 to 1 or something like that, then the two of you can go out to play. You can go out, maybe you go to the beach or the mountains. You know, it's not just dinner. It's play. And that's something couples need. They need to play together.
Right, because if you play together more, I think the sex will happen.
Well, because that's what sex is.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's sort of a, you know, it's a sensual form of play, really.
Right. Well, when I always have when I have Dr. Patty on the show, the sex coach, she's always talking about how, because we often get questions like this as well when she's on the program, and she always says you have to schedule it. Once you're a parent, enough of the spontaneity stuff or waiting for it to spontaneously happen.
You have to carve it out.
Yeah, you have to like make dates and say, okay, we're gonna.
Yeah, and that's a change. It's a change in the relationship. And again, you know, the dates have to be ones in which you have some energy for the for the partner. And if you're always waiting until, you know, Saturday night, well, you've spent the whole Saturday with, you know, maybe two energetic, you know, a toddler and a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're pretty tired. You just soon go to bed as go out, you know.
Right.
And that's the time that you've saved. So, you know, the play part, the getting up in the morning, an afternoon date, I mean, that kind of thing, you can really remember what it's like to be together.
Right.
And you can look forward to it. And there's one other thing, which is including a full range of sensuality as part of the sexual relationship. In other words, having a warm candlelit bath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might not lead to sex, but it is sensual, and it is in the range of the sensual, you know, sphere of the relationship. So maybe you're tired out, and, you know, you can recharge together and wind down from the day just by lighting a candle, getting in the warm bath together, you know. Maybe you wash each other's back, you talk, you know, and that is sensual. And it, even if it's not having sex, you know, it's still keeping the sensual part of the relationship very much alive.
And that's still important.
It's very important.
Very important in the relationship and keeping that energy going.
Yeah, and, you know, something that happens for women, I think, a lot is they're touched out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been touching the babies and holding the children. And the husband, maybe, you know, has been away, and he just wants to come and you know, hug her and jump in bed with her, you know, and she's just not ready for it. So this is sort of a way to, you know, to be in the bath together, to be connected physically and sensually, but not, but I guess really giving the woman a chance to adjust and adapt to the change from children and physical caretaking to meeting her spouse and her partner and being available, you know, sexually.
Mm-hmm. We're talking here with Dr. Gail. And Dr. Gail Peterson is the family therapist on Parents Place on iVillage.com. So if you go to iVillage.com to the front page now, click on Baby, and that will take you to the Parents Place. And you can find, under Experts, you can find Gail, or go to parentsplace.com/expert/family. Another question, this comes from Suzanne. A holiday visit, how do I tell my nieces about divorce? Suzanne says, I ended my marriage recently, and I am at a loss about how to tell my nieces. My older brother has two daughters, ages 5 and 11. They live in another city, so we don't see them all the time, but do see them regularly at holidays. With the holidays approaching, I don't know what to tell them when they ask about the whereabouts of my ex-husband. Do you have any words of wisdom for this situation?
Well, this must be very recent for Suzanne.
Right.
You know, I mean, this must have been just, you know, maybe in the last few weeks, or, you know, the fact that she hasn't yet probably digested it herself some, and so doesn't know, you know, exactly what to say. Well, certainly she needs to talk to the parents first, to her brother, his wife, and have the parents break the news ahead of time. You know, this is really something that's their job first, you know, and talk to them about it. And they want to hear it from their parents first. You know, I want you to know, you know, this is what's happened with, you know, Aunt Suzanne, and she'll be coming by herself this year, and this is why, and, you know, so really, she doesn't need to just show up, and, you know, that would really be too much for everybody. I mean, that would be pretty overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I think she's just in some shock right now and is not really, you know, thinking in terms of she doesn't have to do this all by herself, and the parents are there, and she should call and talk to them ahead of time. And then she should also secondarily realize that the children will be more concerned about what it'll mean for them. I mean, as much as they may love, you know, their aunt and be concerned about her, they're going to wonder, well, what does this mean? This is an exit of the of this person in the family. Is he am I never going to see him again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he ever going to call us or send us gifts? Do we stop sending him birthday cards? You know, this sort of thing. And the truth is, Suzanne may not know yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she may not know exactly what the motivation will be. And I have seen situations where, when there's a couple with no children and they divorce, you know, sometimes they'll say, and usually they'll say, well, that they'll keep in touch with the other children in the family, and often they don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the first year, it's too painful.
Right.
There's no, cousin relationship, so there's no real thrust towards that in the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And my observation over the years is that even though people say it, if there's no children involved in that relationship, they usually don't stay in touch.
Yeah.
Now, that's, you know, obviously that could change, and,
mm-hmm.
and that may not be the case here, or it may. We don't know what kind of a relationship they have. So, you know, you just have to be honest. If you don't know, you just say, well, you know, I'm not sure yet, but I'll let you know what it means. And she'll have to be finding out. You know, Suzanne will have to find out what's going to go on with her soon-to-be ex-husband and his relationship with her nieces. And then, you know, I think finally, she needs to really reestablish the connection as a single aunt before including anyone new, if at all possible. You
mm-hmm.
don't bring anybody new. You know, if there is somebody else on the scene, you know, which sometimes that's how breakups occur or sort of come about in the end, you know, that she really should appear on her own and, you know, get to know her nieces as a single aunt, you know. And I'm sure there'll be some sadness there for her, but there'll also be some opportunity for, you know, some deeper connecting with the children around the loss, too.
Right. We're talking here with Dr. Gail Peterson. You can find her site, parentsplace.com/expert/family, and then there are links to Making Healthy Families, the message board, and an easier childbirth message board, so you can get immediate questions answered with a response from Gail. Other things that we need to know, those were our two questions for the day, but just any general tips for us in terms of this, we're in that major holiday season with families and all, everything seems to be at a high level for the good and sometimes for the not so good.
Right. You know, you have to be aware that losses, you know, if there's been a loss mm-hmm. in the last year, that it'll make the holiday season just, you know, more difficult. And to be, you know, really careful with your friends, you know, if they've lost somebody very dear to them. You know, I think it's important to be sensitive when you're sharing your joy, which, you know, you may share, you may send Christmas cards with all the wonderful news that's going on in your family, you know, which is very common. You want
mm-hmm.
to share the positive. But for somebody who has, you know, lost a child or lost a husband, you know, you want to say something special to them, too. And maybe you want to hold back a bit if you really know that it's a fresh wound, because it can be very, very hard on people who have really had recent losses.
All right. Wonderful advice. Thank you so much, Dr. Gail, for talking to us. We won't have you next week, but then
we'll have
you back again in January, in the new year.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and have a great new year. And I'll see you after then.
You, too. Have a happy holidays.
Bye-bye.